Well, guys, it's so good to be with y'all, and I want you to know how special College Station is. To be in this time with us together is an awesome, awesome thing. I am an Aggie, just as Philip said. I was married here in College Station. I was ordained in College Station. I started Breakaway Ministries way back when I was a sophomore in college. I mean, when I was driving up from Houston today, tonight, just seeing the It's weird. I don't know why. Why does a water tower bring such joy to my heart? It's a weird thing, isn't it? But you kind of know that if you're a College Station person, you're like, okay, I get that. It's just a water tower, but you see it in the sun setting, and it's a beautiful water tower. And so here I am now here with the water tower in my heart and Jesus as well. And I want to share with you tonight some great things. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is where we're going to be, and we're going to look at the ending part of Romans chapter 8 and talking about knowing God and the power of God and all those sort of things that Philip mentioned. I want to talk to us about that tonight. In Romans chapter 8, I want to give you just a couple words about Romans chapter 8 as you're turning there. It's been said that if the Bible was a ring, this is what one commentator said, if the Bible was a ring, Romans would be the diamond and Romans 8 would be the glisten on the diamond, okay? If the Bible was a ring, Romans would be the diamond, and Romans 8 would be the glisten on the diamond. And so we're going to look at that at this ending part in verse 26 is where we'll start in just a second, which will be great. But you know what's great? When we got different churches together, we got different age groups together, we've got different backgrounds together, we've all written different things on the card here tonight, all those sort of things. What different people need to be able to join together is a common enemy. That's what we need, right? So the SEC is a great conference because we all hate Alabama, right? That just works. Everybody hates Alabama. Maybe somebody in here likes them, but you shouldn't admit that here in this room right now tonight. So we can all come together. We can all root for whoever's playing Alabama, right? That's kind of how we do. We root for our team and then whoever's playing Alabama. And we have this weird thing of like, yes, I love Tennessee. Yes, they beat them. It just felt so good this year, right, to not see them in the playoffs. It's a common enemy. Well, another common enemy for a men's group tonight would be this. I'm just going to say two words, and then I just want you to just a collective boo to really feel it in your heart, okay? Here's what it is. Hallmark movies. There you go. Yeah, hiss. I should be more Aggie, shouldn't I? Then boo. We should hiss. And we've just finally now, I feel like I'm kind of shaking them off because my wife, my daughter, Christmas time, Hallmark movies. I mean, we've got them recorded like crazy. I come in, they're under blankets, they're watching the movies. Hi, Dad. And they're watching all these things. And I'm walking through just like, oh my gosh, are y'all buying this stuff again? And I even wore my flannel plaid shirt to just be in honor of a Hallmark movie. Because the way it goes, you know how it works. There's a guy in a flannel plaid shirt. He needs some type of help. He's got to bake cookies. He's got to sculpture an ice sculpture. He's got to hang lights in the Christmas town. And then there's a beautiful lady that's from a big city. And she's a CEO somewhere of some big company. And she comes back to this small little quaint town and realizes the big city isn't for her. Small town living is for her. And she meets man in flannel. And then they have this moment where their eyes connect. And it's a high school little spark again that happens. And everything's great until the ice sculpture melts. Santa's not coming. The bell's not going to ring. The lights aren't going to go up. Whatever it is, there's a crisis. Christmas isn't going to happen. That's what takes place. And then as it goes along, I hate to spoil this for you guys, it all gets worked out, okay? Christmas happens, it all works out, and then as snow falls in the town square at a gazebo, they kiss. Credits roll, next movie starts, and by goodness, if that's not the same movie that's happening right after that movie, it might even be the same characters happening in the same movie. You're like, well, she was a bad girl in that one. She's a good girl in that one. I mean, it always works out, okay? Now, here's what I want you to hear tonight. I want you to hear this. And in Hallmark movies, a silly illustration to say this when we're talking about deep things in our lives. I want you to know this. It's going to work out. God is in the midst of your life. God is a powerful God. God is a strong God. God is powerful. And it's going to work out. Now, it might not work out like you want it to work out, But God's going to work it out, just as we heard in the testimony that Tim gave. God's working things out in his life. Thank you for sharing. And to be able to see those things working out in our lives, I want you to look at Romans 8, beginning at verse 26. And I'm going to show you the power of the Holy Spirit, how we can connect with that, particularly through prayer. Talking about God's powerful. How do we find he's powerful? We find it through prayer. And I want us to look at more than a Hallmark movie. I want us to look at the blueprint of God working it out in our lives. Look at verse 26. We're going to make it through to 28, but I'm going to read verses 26 and 27. Here's what it says. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Talk about powerful God. Well, we got to talk about the weakness of man. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. I want you to underline groanings in your Bible, okay? Look at groanings in your Bible. Now, let me point your attention. We're going to jump to groanings in a second, but I want you to get this. Look at verse 22, creation groans. Look at verse 23, we groan. Then look at verse 26, the Spirit groans. There's three groanings that happen in this little section of Romans chapter 8. In verse 26, the first thing I want you to see there, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Here's your point if you're taking notes, talking about knowing God. If we're going to know God and we're going to walk well with him, then here's what we got to first know. We have to know we have a heavenly helper. We have to know that we have a heavenly helper, and his name is the Holy Spirit. So the heavenly helper is the Holy Spirit of God. So the power of God in your life doesn't come from your willpower, doesn't come from your personality, doesn't come from your giftedness, doesn't come from your education, doesn't come from how many degrees you have on the wall, how much money you got in the bank. It comes from realizing that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside your heart and the power of God is in you, so that you can walk in the ways of righteousness. So the power of God is about, but it's not only about, God just doing incredible miracles of splitting the Red Sea. That is a powerful moment of God. But the power of God is in you through the Holy Spirit to have the strength over sin, to have the strength into righteousness, to walk with God in a true, authentic, real, day by day, your hand in his relationship. You have a heavenly helper. His name is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, sometimes, especially for all of us in this room, or I don't know all of us, but maybe some of us, he's like the cousin it of the Trinity, okay? Don't talk about the Holy Spirit. I promise I'll stay within bounds. I got you. I got great theology. I know where I'm going with this. The Holy Spirit isn't the cousin it. The Holy Spirit is the power of God living inside of you. Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, yes, amen. The Spirit, in the same way the Spirit helps us. Now, the Greek word for Spirit is paraclete. Think of a paralegal, a paramedic, a parasite. What is that? That's someone who is next to, okay? The paralegal is next to the lawyer. The paramedic is next to the doctor. And so the paraclete, that's the Greek word, is one who walks alongside of you. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit is the counselor, the helper, the advocate. This here where it says helps is actually the conjugation of that Greek word is this. It means the one the Spirit keeps on helping. It's a continual help. Not just, well, I prayed and received Jesus as my Savior and Spirit helped me. No, the Spirit's continually helping you and helping me if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, well, you came to the right place, because we can tell you about how to trust Jesus as your Savior and receive Christ into your heart, that Jesus can live in your heart through the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to listen to a few verses from the book of John talking about the Holy Spirit being the helper. If we're going to experience the power of God, if we're going to walk with God, if we're going to know God, then we've got to be able to understand this verse of Scripture in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, just listen to these. If you're taking notes, just write down the reference. They're all in John, so just write down John and start writing chapters and verses. Here we go. John 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. John 14, 26. But the helper, The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus is saying this, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I have said to you. John 15, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Jesus is saying that. John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now, can you get that? Jesus is saying it's to our advantage that Jesus goes away. That baffles me. It seems like it'd be better if he was here. But he says, no, it's to my advantage, to your advantage if I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you or help you in all the truth. So the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit, Trinity, it is the Helper that God has given us. So we have a heavenly helper. So over pornography, heavenly helper, yes. Over whatever sin, heavenly helper. In joy, in good times, a heavenly helper. In understanding the power of God, a heavenly helper. Now, I want you to get, I'm kind of overloading a little bit here on this Greek stuff that I keep telling you, but this is the last one I'm going to give you, and it's great, I'll give you a bunch more, but let me just give you this one. This helper is a Greek word, and you can write it down if you want to. I'm going to put it on the screen in just a second. It's a 17 letter Greek word, okay? Now get that, 17 letter Greek word. You ready? Here it is. Supercalifragilistic, no, it's not that. Here's what it is. I'm going to put it up on the screen for you so you can see it. Check that out. Anybody want to give a shot on pronouncing that? I'm going to give it a shot in just a second. You don't have to. It means what it says there, to help carry from the other side, okay? So sin anti lambano mai. See it? Can you break it out a little bit? Sin like a synonym. Anti like an antagonist on the other side. Lambano, now that's not a fresh word to us, means to lift. And then mai is just the congregation of it, okay? Not congregation, conjugation of it. Different. Sorry, pastors just say congregation all the time. So conjugation of the verb, okay? So now let me put it together for you. Ready? Sin means with. Anti means the other side, like an antagonist would take the other viewpoint. Lambano would be lift. My would be the translation, the conjugation of it, okay? Here's what it means, guys. And this is powerful. This is life-changing, okay? It means that the Holy Spirit is on the other side helping you to lift. Okay? I get this. Now imagine that this table, I could pick this up. I actually picked it up, moved it from the floor to here. But let's imagine this table is not this table. Let's imagine this table is this table. This is a dining room table at your grandma's house. Okay? You know that one? That big, heavy one from 1932, right? And if we were to say, okay, we want you to move that table, what would you need to move that table? Well, you could pick it up and you could scratch the floor by moving it like this, but you couldn't pick that table up and you couldn't move it, could you? What you would do is you'd say, I need a sin anti lambano mai. I need somebody on the other side to pick up that table. And so if you got on that side and I got on this side, we could lift up that table together, couldn't we? We could say, Mom could say, hey, we want you to move it right over there. So we'd lift it up together and we'd do this. We'd move like that. We've all gotten a couch and moved before. We've all gotten a bed and moved before. We've all had a sin anti lambano mai on the other side. Someone on the other side that is with us in lifting. That is the Holy Spirit. The power of God is on the other side of your marriage helping to lift. The power of God, students, is on the other side of your degree plan helping you to lift. The power of God for single men in this room, he's on the other side helping you to be that kind of man that God will trust a princess to, right? God wants the Holy Spirit to be on the other side. That's why he says, in the same way, that's all of Romans chapter 8, other groanings I even told you in there, and we'll get to more of that, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. He is on the other side helping us. Now we find this word in another place in the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 40. It's Mary and Martha, where Martha comes in and says, tell my sister to help me. You remember that verse? Why is Mary not helping? Martha's not saying, I'm going to sit here and Mary, it's your turn. She's saying, why is Mary not in the kitchen with me, helping me to get ready for the Savior of the world coming? We always kind of dog Martha, but I mean, if the Savior showed up at your house, wouldn't you want to make sure it was good, you know? So the Holy Spirit is on the other side helping you to lift. Gentlemen, that means it's not up to you alone. That means your business is not your business. Your degree plan is not your degree plan. Your church is not your church. I'm speaking to us as pastors all around here. It's His church. And you and I have right here in this scripture a 17-letter Greek word that God is going to be on the other side to help us to lift. Now, let me quickly say on the heels of that, God does not need our help. Did you know that? He doesn't need our help. He's not going, where's my sin auntie Labano I? He's not looking for that. He can lift the table on His own. Here it is, guys. The blessing of grace is He includes us in His work. You get that? The blessing of grace is He includes us in His work. He says, I want you to get to know me, to get to know my power. When you lift it up and you go, wow, check this out. We're moving the table. Look at this, God. This is incredible. How amazing. How did you provide for me a wife? How did you provide for me a job? How did you provide for me this income? How did you provide for me this peace in the midst of a trial? How did you provide for me? I hope, gentlemen, that right now in this very moment, you are seeing a sin anti lambano mai in this moment. Why? Because I know, and I've been doing this long enough, I cannot preach a message that touches your heart without the Holy Spirit on the other side of the table. I can't do it. I can talk to your ears. I can try to make you laugh a bit. I can try to say something really wise, but for God to do something, He's got to get on the other side of it. He's got to get on the other side of it. And the power of God is when we realize that God is with us through the Holy Spirit and He's on the other side of it and He's ready, willing, and able to help us lift the things He wants to do. Sin anti lambano nai. How amazing is that? I think about this very town on my knees praying my guts out as we had about 12 people come over and then it grew to 24 and it grew to 48 and on and on and on. We actually, without the grace of Central Baptist Church when it was in Bryan, Texas and Coulter and Tim Skaggs, remembers those days way back when, and then letting Breakaway, this little bitty Bible study started by a few guys in their apartment meeting the church and watching God lift a table. And 33 years later, it's still going on and I'm on the board and I'm glad to be. But watching God do something in the church, in your life, in your marriage, in your heart, all those things, He's on the other side. We need a helper, the helper. We've got two kids. My son Grayson is actually an Aggie. He's a junior here at A&M, and I don't know if some of y'all might even know Grayson, but he's an Aggie here, which is awesome. And so when he was born right here in Bryan, Texas, we lived over in Copperfield subdivision, just right down the road over here, and we brought him home, and we got the best Christmas or the best baby gift we've ever gotten. You know what it was? Wasn't a onesie, wasn't a burp cloth, wasn't anything monogrammed. We had a friend that paid for a housekeeper to come to our house once a week for a month. We had a helper in the midst of this little bitty baby. We didn't know what to do. Somebody would knock on our door once a week and would vacuum the house and would dust the house and would do all these things, would fold the sheets, would do all this stuff. It was the best. We had a helper and it changed everything. When we had our second child, I sent that same friend of mine 5 birth announcements to try to get this deal again. I didn't get in on the first birth announcement. I'm like, I'm sending another one. Hey, did you know I had another baby? Did you? Hey, did you? I mean, how? No, yeah, sure. I mean, and they didn't do it. I don't know what happened. We ended up, no sin auntie Labano I on that. Didn't happen. But man, when you need a helper and you get a helper, whoo. When you need help in a class and you get a tutor, when you need somebody to help you move and they bring their pickup, It changes things. And friends, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Now, where is he going to help us? Okay. So if he's going to help us, now where is he going to help us? Let's watch. Verse 26, in the same way the Spirit also helps us, that's our word, 17 letters, got it down to 5 in English, in our weakness, okay, where are we weak? What's he going to go for? Is he going to go for sin and righteousness and holiness? Is he going to go for Bible reading? Is he going to go for missionary? Is he going to go for evangelism? What's he going to go for? In our weakness, because we do not know what to, say the word with me, pray. For as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. Now, I want you to get that. Where does he start? I want to help you as the Holy Spirit to understand the power of God. I want you to know God, and I want to begin with prayer. I want to begin with prayer. Here's your point. Ready? To know God, that's the theme of this retreat time. To know God, know that we are freed from the pressure of perfection. Know that we are freed from the pressure of perfection. Now, I could have added the perfect prayer. That's what he's talking about here. But I wanted to make it broader because I think all of us as men, at some point, we just don't want to fail. You know, 47% of folks between 18 and 25 fear failure so greatly they don't even try, is what statistics are showing us. So we can fear that perfection. Do you ever feel discouraged in prayer? Do you ever wonder if you're hitting the right formula? Do you ever feel like, well, am I saying the right phrases? I mean, do I just need to pray the Our Father a few more times? What do I need to do? How do I need to get this going? Is this in perfect line with God's will or not? See, the pillar of prayer begins with the pillar of knowing God. When you know God and you know Jesus and you're growing in a relationship with him, then it's like a friend that you begin to talk with in prayer. So you don't worry about with your best bud, are you getting all the words right? You worry about on a job interview if you're getting all the words right, okay? But when you get to know the Lord and you're walking with God, then you begin to walk in a way that the prayer begins to flow a little bit better. Now, some of us are better at words than others. Some of us are better at journaling than others. Some of us are more quiet than us. That's okay. God knows your personality. But he wants you to communicate with him in a great way. And here's what happens, gentlemen, is that when you walk with God, and you know God, there's a cumulative effect of knowing God. Which sermon changed your life? Yes. Which prayer was the one that changed the outcome? Yes. Which Bible verse is the one that just made you really a godly man? Uh-huh. It's the cumulative effect of being in situations like this and spending time with God's word each and every day. You should be in it each and every day. Just pick a book of the Bible, pick the New Testament, start Matthew, and just start reading a chapter a day. That could be your plan. You come up with something different, but just do that. I did that for years. To be able to let God do something. He wants to do something so great. Now, here's what one commentator said about this passage. He said, no passage of Scripture provides greater encouragement for prayer. The Spirit comes to the aid of the believers baffled by the perplexity of prayer and takes their concerns to God with an intensity far greater than we can imagine. Our groans, verse 23, become his groans, verse 26, as he intercedes on our behalf. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. You don't worry about getting the words right. You just get on your knees, on your face, in your heart, in prayer. Now, I think it's interesting that he says we're weak in prayer. You know why? This is going to be, you're going to have to think about this a little bit. Prayer is like the easiest thing you could do. What do you mean? You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to raise any money. You don't have to know how to read. You don't have to know a 17-letter Greek word or a 3-letter Greek word or a 5-letter Greek word. You don't have to be a seminary graduate. You don't have to be anything special. Prayer is so easy. Now you're thinking, well, I don't think so. I think it's really hard. No, it's not. You don't even have to bow your head. You don't even have to close your eyes. Watch, I'm going to pray right now. I just put a thought towards God. I said, Lord, use this time. I didn't have to do anything. You can just think a thought towards God, and that's a prayer. You could just say, Jesus, help me, and that's a prayer. You see it? It is so easy, but the reason we don't pray is not because we're too busy, but because we're too confident. Why do I need to pray? I got the talents. I got the degree on the wall. I'm going to make some money. I want to do my thing. I don't want to pray because what if I pray and this isn't God's thing and then he's got to redirect me and all. I'm just going to do it and ask God to bless it in the end. But if you do kneel down, if you do pray, if you do clasp your hands, if you do close your eyes, if you do bow your head, if you do all those things, it's even better. I'm all for all those things. I'm just trying to tell you that the Spirit of God is interceding for you. And if you were to look at verse 34, Jesus is interceding for you as well. God is at work in your life. Now, I brought something from my home in Houston where I live. Don't want to step on anybody's card there. And I'm going to bring it up on stage for you because I just wanted to give you some kind of how-to of being able to do this. This is a prayer kneeler, obviously. I have a prayer, this is my prayer kneeler from my house. This is in my bedroom. I took it out of my bedroom just a few hours ago to put it in the back of the car and to bring it up here for you to see it, to just give you a thing. You know where I got this? This is really a special, you know, this was from Amazon is where this was from, right? I know a lot of you are like, wow, is that Jerusalem, like olive wood and crafted from a tree in Gethsemane? This is Amazon.com, okay? It will be at your door tomorrow at 2 p.m., all right? I've got another one in my office at the church that really is an antique one from our church. Our church has been around since 1841, so our church predates being, the state of Texas came into the Union in 1845. We're a church from 1841, founded by Tennessee missionaries coming to a foreign mission field called the country of Texas. So that's how far we go back, to 1841. And we still got some original members, it feels like, some days, you know. But that's okay. We love them. So I got a prayer kneeler in my office. Every day, here's your action point. Every day I write on my things to-do list. I'm telling you, every day. Every day. I could show you my journals in my backpack. I could show you every day. I put a little box and I write pray. Then I write another one, prepare, because that's what I got to do, is prepare the message after that for Sunday. Every day in my office, I get down on my knees and I pray to begin my day. Here's your application, guys. Pray, plan, proceed. That's how you do your day. What do typically we do? We proceed, then we go, this didn't work, and we start trying to plan. Then we're like, dear Jesus, help me right now, right? Flip that around. Pray, plan, and proceed. So this is the one from my house. I get on this prayer kneeler, my office or my home, and I call out on God. I got some Catholic roots in me, so this fits me perfect. This is great. I love it. Hey, but kneeling is not Catholic. Kneeling is Christian. That's what it is. Kneel, get on your face before God. Your posture, let your body direct, in a sense, you're going to show with your body what you're happening in your heart. That's what I'm trying to say. I have sat on this right here on this piece of wood. I sat something down that sat here for a year because I said, Lord, I want it to sit before you for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week until this thing's solved. And let me tell you what, I could tell you a long story. God solved it better than I could ever imagine. I got a new thing that sat there that I took off to take here, and I was actually like kind of a little scared to take it off, like, oh, you know, but I sat it down very gently next to where this will go back tonight, and it's still sitting. It's going to sit right back there tonight. I'll put that piece of paper. It's got a little note for me of what I'm asking God for, and it's sitting here. So, guys, I just want you to just see the Spirit intercedes for us. The Spirit helps us in our weakness because we do not know how to pray as we should, and he intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That's not speaking in tongues. That is your heart and his heart groaning together to say, oh God, we need you so great. Maybe you need to order off Amazon.com tonight. I'm not trying to promote Amazon, wherever you want to get it. But to let God just do something, or just get on your bedside and pray, and you don't worry about it being perfect. You let the Holy Spirit, who searches our heart, verse 27, he searches our heart and he knows the mind of the Spirit because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The will of God is for you to experience the power of God, to walk in the strength of God, to walk in the righteousness of God, to be a difference maker for God, to understand your purpose and to let God do something in you. Watch, guys, do something in you so that he can do something through you. And then you'll sit back and you'll go, Lord, I can't believe you lifted that table. I can't lift that table. You were on the other side of that and you lifted it. How awesome is that? He intercedes and searches our heart and knows the mind of the Spirit. That word of knowing the mind of the Spirit, it means to know perceptively or intuitively. God knows your heart. He knows, the Spirit knows your heart. He knows God's will, and he's going to connect the two. I got to go to Rome this summer. I'm teaching the book of Romans. That's why this is just burning in me in my church right now. And so I went to Rome. I studied in Rome. I spent some time in Rome because I wanted to see Rome where Paul was. I've been there once before, but got to go there again, which was great. And so I sat down with the travel agent. We went to some other places in Italy. And here's what I did. She said, well, where do you want to go? And I said, well, let me just tell you what I want to do. And then you tell me where to go because you've already been there and done more of Italy than I have. So I told her this. I said, I want to wake up on a morning and I want it to be a crisp blue sky, a little bit of chill in the air, just a little cold, not too much. And I want to step out of the hotel. I don't want it to be too nice of a hotel, but I want to be nice enough of a hotel that it's comfortable and it's not like, you know, got a number in it somewhere of like, you know, the Super 8 or Motel 6. I don't want any numbers in the hotel. So, and I want to step out, and I want to step out onto a cobblestone path that's very narrow, and I want to walk down in this like 1200s built type city, and I want to go to a coffee shop with my Bible and my journal as I prepare Romans, and I want to sit down there, and I want to say, I'll have a latte, and they're going to bring me a latte that looks like it's got a, like an aspen leaf just settled on it on the top there, and then I'm going to sit out there, and I'm going to do that, and she goes, got it. And she made the itinerary, and I'm telling you, I was walking through Italy going, that girl got it. This was awesome. I'm like, bam, hiring you again. What happened? She knew the heart of me. She knew what could happen there, and she connected the dots. And gentlemen, the Holy Spirit of God knows God's heart, knows your heart, and with groanings deeper than words, creation is groaning in Romans 8, we're groaning in Romans 8, and the Spirit of God is groaning to God on our behalf to make intercession for us, and we are freed from perfection. How amazing is that? And then now the power of God comes. Let me tell you one other thing on prayer, one other story I want to tell you, then we're going to jump to our last point, and we'll wrap up in just a moment. Have you ever just not known what to pray? I'm just telling you, as a pastor, I don't know what to pray a lot. I called a lady today. She's in hospice. I'm talking to her daughter. She's, you know, can't really talk as much anymore. And I'm like, do I pray for healing? Do I pray for homegoing? I don't know. So I just pray God's will. You just do it. There's going to be times you don't know what to pray. And what I want you to just pray is just, Jesus, help. Jesus, help. Jesus, do your will. Make that request. Put that out there and let that be. And do your will. We aren't good at just asking God, realizing we need his help, right? And just calling out on him. A week ago today, I went to visit a lady and a gentleman that we're friends with. They go to our church. Our daughters have played on the same volleyball team, so we're sitting in the stands together. Those of y'all that are parents, sports parents, you know how you become friends with your kids' friends' parents. And so we're sitting there together, and so they had a baby, and we were all excited about it. So she's been pregnant, you know, all through volleyball season. Now it's basketball season. She's been pregnant through basketball season. And so his baby was supposed to be due 3 weeks from now, and then all of a sudden we heard, well, she had the baby, and in the midst of having the baby, she had a heart attack as a young lady, okay? So they get her in for the C-section, and they start calling cardiovascular surgeon, and they, I mean, it is like, code red? Are we going to take her to the cardiovascular surgery? Or are we going to get the baby out? What are we going to do? They decide to get the baby out. They call the cardiovascular surgeon. He's on call. He gets on the phone. They start figuring this whole thing out. Well, it turns out that this is not supposed to be the cardiovascular surgeon that was there, because there was supposed to be another one. But this guy said, could you switch with me? And they switched. He said, look, it's going to be on a night that there's never, nothing's going to happen. No, this is going to be the easiest on-call you ever had. And all of a sudden, he ends up in this moment. This condition that she had with the baby in the heart happens to 2 out of 100,000 people. Out of 100,000 people. But wouldn't you know it, the guy that now is the substitute on-call doctor, last time he was at a medical convention just recently, he said, you know what, I'm going to go to that seminar that was about the 2 out of 100,000 people. And he heard the whole seminar about it. And my wife and I walked in to visit them. It was the husband and the wife. He opened up the door, hospital door, and came out in the hallway and just hugged me and just started just sobbing because of the stress. We walked in, and she's there in the hospital bed, and the baby's in her arms, and everything's fine. And the doctor turns around, and he goes, Pastor Greg, he goes to our church. And they'd been talking about that. He's the only one that went to the seminar for the 2 in 100,000, and he goes to our church, and this young lady goes to our church. And he says, can I tell y'all the story? And pulls up the chair. We sit down with the family, the doctor, me, my wife, and the family. And I haven't seen a doctor sit down a lot in hospital rooms. Usually they kind of come in and, oh, are you okay? And then they leave. And it's great. That's how they got to do it. He pulls up a chair and sits down. And he begins to tell the story and begins to cry in the hospital. Now, that's either really good or really bad, okay? You don't really want your doctor crying while he's telling you the story. But I'm getting to the point. He said, I stood over her and I prayed. And he was so humble. He said, and I have to admit, Pastor, I don't always pray before surgeries. I stood over her and I prayed. God let her live. God let her live. And I began to do the surgery. And she lived. And she made it through. Yesterday, she went into cardiac arrest again. And I had to have bypass surgery. And the doctor was texting me, Pastor, pray. Pastor, pray. Pastor, pray. Please pray. Get everybody you can to pray. And I'm telling you, in my office with my wife, God, would you let her live? God, would you let her live? God, would you have mercy on her? God, I know her husband's whole family. His niece is my daughter's best friend. I know her whole family. And we just prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And last night I called her husband and talked to him. I called her dad and talked to him. And her dad said, Pastor, we are so grateful for the grace of God that our daughter's still alive. And I'm telling you, God's in the midst of those things. The story, God is working it out. Love the seed of a surgeon. He's got degrees here to the roof. He's brilliant. I mean, how do you know how to do these things? God let her live. And the Spirit took all of that, and even knowing what would happen last night, on, and she's doing great. I got good news to tell you. It's going to be a long road. I mean, you have a C-section and open heart surgery in the course of a week. Hey, pray for her. Pray for them. But I want you to hear the power of prayer. And the Spirit says you're weak. And he doesn't aim at evangelism. And he doesn't aim at missionary work. Those are all important. He doesn't aim at Bible study. Doesn't aim at preaching. Doesn't aim at leadership. He says you're weak. I want to teach you, and I want you to learn to pray and to groan before me. When you pray, you don't worry about everything perfect, because the Holy Spirit is interceding for you, and Jesus Christ is interceding for you, and you just come and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. God, I give it to you. I pray that you would be the Auntie Lombano, my I need you to lift my marriage, God. I need you to lift my children, God. I need you to lift my studies. I need you to lift my life. I need you to lift my righteousness, God. I need you. And you'll find as you get on your knees, it won't be long before you'll be praying on your face and you'll be laying down and just praying and asking God so much, Lord, would you do something? And I want you to know, gentlemen, I prayed on my face for breakaway for years. Years on a blue sleeping bag on my face before God because I don't think my speaking is good enough to touch the heart. And the word of God and the souls of men and women is way too important in any career, much less pastoring, to not be prayerful before God. We need him on the other side of the table. Badly. Greatly. And when that happens, he starts moving. Let me show you a famous verse. We're going to wrap it up because we've got other things to do tonight. Verse 28. This is your refrigerator verse. This is your put it on the back of the shirt verse. This is the famous one. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. My last point for you is this. Know God's activity is for our good. Know God's activity is for our good. When you rise up from prayer, I just want you to hear me loud and clear. It's not always going to go just like you wanted it to go. It's not. Sometimes you pray the wallpaper off the wall and they pass away. Sometimes you ask for healing and it doesn't come this side of heaven. And so I want you to know, I'm talking about knowing God, I'm talking about the power of God, prayer stepping up, God's activity is for our good. God is at work, for all things work for the good of those who love Christ Jesus and are called according to his purpose. God is working in good. Now let me tell you a couple things and we're done. Three things I want you to know. Number one, God's good might not be our idea of good. God's good might not be our idea of good. Psalm 119, 68, for you are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. Lord, I know you're good. I need you to teach me how to walk in your ways because your good isn't always appearing to be good. Now, there's two words. I keep telling you no more Greek words, but too bad. Here's two more. There's two Greek words for good. One is an internal intrinsic character issue. And one is an exterior, things are going good. Stock market's good, job's good, family's good, how you doing? Good. That's exterior. Character good is working inside you. Which good do you think this is talking about? The character one. So when he says, we know that all things work for the good, he's sanctifying you. He's creating you in his image. All things work for the good. That's what he's talking about. So not for our earthly comfort, but for our conformity to Christ. Number two, God works things out, not us. So trust him. God works things out, not us. So trust him. We know that all things work together for the good. Who do you think is doing that? For those who love God, God's doing that. Number three, and finally, is this. God's purpose is to conform us into the image of Christ. God's purpose is to conform us into the image of Christ. So let me bring this whole thing together, and we're going to wrap it up, okay? Number one, the Spirit of God, the power of God, he wants to help you on the other side of whatever you've been trying to lift on your own. You're not strong enough to do it, and you shouldn't even try. And the way that he wants to strengthen you in that and to help you to live is he wants you to bow down and he wants you to get on your knees. He wants you to pray. And prayer, guys, is the easiest thing we can do. It's just a thought towards God. It's a calling out to the Lord. It's a saying, Lord, use this sermon, use this song, use this in my life. God, I want to give you this day, God. I want to pray. I want to plan. I want to proceed. I want you to do this day. It's your day, God. You make it happen. And you pray, and I pray, and we seek the Lord. And then when we rise up from prayer and we begin to walk things out in life, we go, Lord, you're using it for good. You're using it for good. You're shaping me. You're molding me. You're forming me. And here's what happens. Better than a Hallmark movie. Better than a Hallmark movie. It works out. Doesn't always work out with a kiss at the end. but it works out to the glory of God, even in suffering, even in joy, it works out to let God do something in you. So here's what I'm asking you guys. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song and we'll be done. What's the table you need to lift? And do you realize God's on the other side of that through the Holy Spirit? How's your prayer life? No guilt. Oh, my goodness, there's no guilt in this at all. He's interceding for us. And how can you see God's good might be different than your good and really walk it out? And that, gentlemen, when you take those kind of steps and you walk that out, two things are going to happen. It's the bullseye of what we're trying to get across today and tomorrow. You're going to know God and you're going to know his power. And the relationship with him is going to have a cumulative effect in working out in your life, and you're going to grow in your relationship with him, and the power of God's going to be in you and through you, and God's going to take care of everything there is to take care of. I promise you, your life will not be a Hallmark movie. Aren't you glad? Right? But the Lord can work all things out for his good and your good intrinsically as he wants to do it. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. I just give thanks publicly right here and now for this family in our church, God, that you let her live. And we just pray as men, God, you'd continue to do your work in their family's life, Lord. I pray, Father, for these men, God, that you'd speak so loudly and clearly, God. Be our helper. We need a helper. We are weak. We're weak. And on our knees is a perfect posture for humble, weak men wanting to experience the power of God. Gentlemen, would you take just for a moment, just take the image of the table, bring it into your own life, and just say, Lord, help me. Be my helper. Sin anti lambano mai. Be on the other side. Ask him to do that. Tell him what you want to ask, what the specifics of what you're asking him for. Now, if you would pray a dangerous but glorious, wonderful prayer and say, God, make me a man of prayer. Make me a man of prayer. Fathers, you have children. Let the Lord make you a man of prayer for your kids. Husbands, for your wives. Who's praying for her today? For your jobs. Check. Single guys, God has marriage for you. She is out there somewhere right now. Pray for her. Pray the Lord leads you to her, protects her, keeps her, prepares her for you and you for her. Father, we just say yes and amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, we're going to sing in just a moment. You can come down front and pray if you'd like to. You can just stand and worship. I feel feel led to share this just real quick. I know I've gone over time, Philip, but just one little thing, because Tim, you brought this out, and I just feel my heart I should share it for the single guys here. You be praying for who God has you to marry. And those of us that are married that have daughters or sons, let's be praying for them to find their spouses. Guys in this room, single guys, I did something, and I was reminded of it tonight by a friend just saying, remember when you told that? You need to tell them that. I began writing notes to my wife before I knew who she was. I would write, dear question mark, and I'd write her a note. I love you. I'm praying for you today. I'm going to walk in purity today to honor you today, even though I don't know you. And I'd fold it up and I'd put it in a shoebox. Dear question mark, this Bible verse really hit something to me. I'd put it in. I'd go on a vacation and I'd write her a note, and I'd mail it back to myself, and I'd try to get it before my roommates so they wouldn't see, you know, this weird note coming in. So it'd be postmarked. And I filled up a shoebox. We got married right here in Bryan, Texas. Went off on our honeymoon, went back to Copperfield where we lived. And that first night we got back, I said, I want you to sit on the couch. I've got a gift for you. And I gave her that shoebox when we got home from our honeymoon. And she opened up the shoebox and read, I'm going to say 50, I'm not sure, letter after letter after letter from years gone by of saying, I'm praying for you. I'm honoring you today before I even knew you. She cried like you wouldn't believe. We still have that shoebox today. And now she's showing my daughter the letters. Marry somebody like Dad. I don't say that with pride. I say that with purpose. You don't know the prayers you're praying, what's going to happen in the future with it. So let's praise, let's pray, and let's get to know God, and we'll discover His power. Stand with me, guys. Let's worship together.